So before we open the ancient words here, I would ask that you would bow with me in prayer. Father, we ask this morning that you would speak to us through your word. As we begin this new year, we ask that you would revive our hearts for you, that you would give us joy and a greater love for you. We ask that you would revive our church and that you would revive our community, that folks would be awakened to your glory, that these ancient words would ring through our lives, through our church, and through this community, that folks would come to know you as their God. I ask that you would hide me behind the cross this morning, that you would give me only your words to speak, that you would fill me with your Spirit. We ask all of this in your name, Lord Jesus. We love you. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to be in Joshua 23, so if you want to begin turning there, that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. While you're turning there, I want to explain what we're going to be doing for the next 13 weeks briefly. The theme that we're going to be going with the next 13 weeks is revive. I want to see my life revived in my walk with the Lord. I want to see your lives revived in your walk with the Lord. We also want to see our church's life revived. And so we're going to spend the next 13 weeks refocusing on the main things so that we can begin to discover God's will for the future of our church. How that's going to look on Sunday mornings, I'm going to be hitting on these main things. Then at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, we have a revitalization team that's going to meet and discuss some of the things that are applications of this sermon. And then tonight, we encourage all of you to come back. We're going to discuss what these main things might look like in our church, areas that we need to refocus on it, areas that maybe we're doing this well, maybe areas we need to do something new, and maybe areas we need to change. That's open to the whole church to come and be a part of that discussion tonight at 6 o'clock. We're going to do that for the next 13 weeks. And so the question comes to mind, where do we start? And we're going to be starting looking at God's Word. That's where we have to start. That's where we have to begin. Before we make changes, before we move forward, we really have to consider what's going to shape our church. What's going to be the thing that defines who we are as a church, who you are in your walk with Jesus? And so we're gonna look at Joshua and see the command he gives the leaders of Israel for their future and see how that applies to our lives this morning. And so you can go ahead and turn there if you will. Going to be on the screen behind me if you don't have it in front of you. If you would, please stand for the reading of God's Word. And before I read, just explain real quick what's going on. So he's gathered the elders and leaders of Israel. They've settled in the promised land. They looks like they have a bright future ahead of them. And here's what he commands them here in verse 6. Therefore, be very strong to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right hand nor to the left, that you may not mix with these nations remaining among you, or make mention of the names of their God, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you shall cling to the Lord your God, just as you have done to this day. Amen. You may be seated. This is where we're going to rest. I want to explain a little bit more about what's going on, because we're just hitting a few verses to the entire address that Joshua gives. These verses are the ones that I think really capture the heart of his message to the people of Israel. They've gone in, they've conquest and taken over the promised land as God commanded them to do. They're able to settle down now in their tribes and in their land and start beginning to build a nation. Joshua's getting old. He can't lead them anymore. He knows his time's short. So he's telling the next generation what they need to do if they want to prosper in the land, if they want to continue to be blessed by God, used by God, and benefit from the promises of God, then he gives them this address. At the heart of it is really two things. He wants them to cling to the Word of God, cling to God by clinging to the Word. And then he gives them a positive, something they should do, and something he's warning them against, and that is the clinging culture that's around them, culture that will grab hold of them, that will shape them more than God's Word if they're not careful. And so those, we're going to look at two ideas this morning, and that's really what's at the heart of this message and where it begins to apply to us. The author is calling us through Joshua's own words to cling to God. And so you see that here in verse 8, you shall cling to the Lord your God, just as you've done to this day. Clinging here, the Hebrew word that's used for cling, means to hang on to join, to grab hold of. If you look at to cleave, if you look back in Genesis, and it talks about Genesis chapter 2, and Adam and Eve, Eve's presented to Adam after the Lord God creates Eve. It says that a man shall leave his father and mother and cling to his wife. Same Hebrew word. This word has a lot, that may be a better word picture for you this morning. This word cling here means to marry, lifelong commitment to forever. That's what he's telling them to do, to cling to the Lord their God, to grab hold of him, to marry to him, where they're not going to be separated from him, that it would be a lifelong commitment they would be. And this is what we want to be about. If we want to see God revive us, we want to see our personal lives revived, we want to see our church revived, we have to cling to God. The question is, how do we do that? There are two things that are mentioned here of how we cling to God. Now look at verse 6. Now therefore be very strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. There, I want to focus on two words, to keep, or four words, to keep and to do. Now those may sound the same to you. Most of the time when we read things like that in the Old Testament, to keep the law, we think, do it, right? Most of the time. But if I told you to keep my dog, what does that mean? I want you to keep him alive. If I come home and my dog's dead because you didn't feed or water him, then you didn't do what I asked. You know, I wanted you to, when I asked, can you keep my dog for me? I mean, can you keep this thing alive? Can you take care of him? Can you make sure he's okay? So in English, keep means something more than just doing something. What he means here in this passage is preserving the Word of God. Now that doesn't mean, it partially means having it where you can, you know, making sure that people can get it. We preserve the Word of God. We want to see Bibles freely available. We want to get those out in people's hands. We want to make sure that nowadays though, that's really not as much of a concern for a lot of folks. You can download free Bible apps. You can go online and get the Bible for free. It doesn't cost you anything. And so that idea of preservation is not really a pressure for us. What is a pressure for us, though, this idea of preservation, keeping alive, is more than just keeping this from rotting or falling apart. Your Bible, keeping your Bible from getting messed up. That's not what I mean. Preservation is you keeping this thing alive for you. How the Scripture says that God's Word is living. It's a living, breathing Word of God. It's always doing something. The only way that it's always doing something in your life is if you're in it. Preserving means that you are, as Psalms 1 says, you are meditating on the Word day and night. It's something you're chewing on. It's something that you are in, and it's in you, and it's something that you're hearing God speak from. You never really know if God's speaking to you if you're not in the Word. I just want to say that. God can speak to you through a feeling, through an inward feeling, through somebody else, through a still small voice. Those are ways God speaks. but God primarily speaks through His Word. Those other things could be anything. It could be your, it could be a desire that you, an evil desire you have in your heart, and you're justifying it in your head. We've all done that at some point where we, well, I can justify doing this. It could be somebody giving you bad advice that is unbiblical, but it sounds right to you and you want to believe it. They're affirming a bad choice that you're making, and so you're going to take that as God speaking. It could be circumstances around you that are not God at work, but Satan at work, trying to keep you from doing something God wants you to do. And you look at that and say, well, God's showing me I don't need to do this. The only way you know for sure what God is saying to you is by measuring everything by the Word of God. And if you're not preserving it in your life, you have no clue what God is saying to your life at all. I want to speak that really loud. We don't, in our culture today, we don't like that. That's not popular in circles because we want to know that that we can just follow our heart. We can do what feels right. You know, what feels right isn't always what's right. That's what Eve did in the garden. She looked and saw the fruit was good to eat. She did what was right in her own heart and sinned against God. The only way you and I know God's will for our lives, for our church, is to be in the Word. For it to be a living thing to us, something that is speaking to us on a daily basis. And if you're not in it, you're not preserving it. It's dead to you. That's what he means by keep the Word. Because this, just to point out, in case you're wondering, the book of the law of Moses, that's not just the Ten Commandments. It's not just the legal stuff. It was their Bible, the first five books. Moses wrote all of them, and they were called the law. And he's saying, that needs to be something alive in you, and you need to preserve it that way. And if you don't, we'll get to that in a little bit. And then he says to do. That means you actually do what it says. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because this is pretty straightforward, but if the Bible says something, you ought to just do it. That's what he's saying. If you are preserving the Word of God and you are getting to know Him, you know His character, you can trust Him. He's your God. Jesus is your Savior. When He asks you to do something, you ought to just do it. But we don't, because we forget who we're serving. Now, this is something that I'm having to do right now with Ella at the house, with our daughter. When I ask her to do something and she doesn't do it, we try to have this conversation. She's three. This conversation doesn't always go very well. But I sit down with her and say, well, you know, who am I? Well, you're my dad. You know I love you, right? Well, yeah. You love me, right? Yeah. I'd never asked you to do anything that would put you in harm's way or that would endanger your life, would hurt you. No, I know that. Well, then why aren't you doing what I'm asking? This is for your best. God's Word does the same thing for us. But if we don't, you have to know it to be able to do it. So if you're not preserving it, you can't apply it. And so it's just really straightforward. If it says that we're to do something, we're to do it. Because we have a God who is loving, who is just, who is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, relenting in wrath, abounding in steadfast love. That's what His Word says in the first five books that the people of Israel should know about their God. So when He asks them to do something, they ought to trust Him enough to do it. Sometimes that's not easy. Here's what I want you to ask yourself this morning. Am I keeping and doing what God's Word says? Are you preserving God's Word enough in your life that you even know what to do with it? Or is it just, I don't even know where to start. I don't know. I'm not sure what it tells me to do. If that's you, you need to get in it. That comes, it's more than just being here on Sunday morning. You might need to plug into a Sunday school class, a Bible study, men's Bible study that meets in the rec building, one of our Sunday school classes. That's the reason why they're there, is so that you can know what God's Word says. This is what we try to do on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, is get in God's Word and teach you what it says. This is why you need to be reading it on your own. There's a lot of free apps out there. You don't even have to open a book. You can just turn on your phone and push a button and you're there. A lot of great daily reading applications and devotionals. But you need to ask yourself seriously, am I keeping and doing what God's word, am I preserving the word, am I in it? Am I doing what it's asking me to do with my life? And then we need to ask as a church, seriously and honestly, are we keeping God's word? So are we doing a good job of preserving it in the lives of you, our members? Because you are the church. It's not just a building, it's people. And are we doing what God's word asks us to do as a church? Now, our mission, which we have on the floor mats and on our website and on our sign, is to know Christ and to make him known. We take that from the word as a command. Matthew 28, at the end of the chapter, he says we're to go and make disciples. Are we doing that? We need to ask ourselves that. We're not going to stop there, because it's more than just doing something positive. Because you can commit to, well, I'm going to try harder to do that this week. Well, you need to know what you're up against. The opposite of clinging to God, as this passage points out, is clinging to a lesser god. I don't mean that you're going to go home and worship Zeus or Aphrodite in your house, although that sort of religious activity is becoming more and more prevalent in the U.S. You think I'm joshing you, but that is actually something that's coming back, is people worshiping these ancient gods. But in our circles, probably not. You're wondering, well, what do you mean, clinging to God? The opposite of clinging to God is clinging to a lesser god. Look, if you're listening, if you're not preserving the word and applying it, then some other voice, this is God's voice right here. If you're not preserving this and applying this to your life, some other voice is shaping your life. It's driving how you identify yourself. It's driving what you do in your daily life. It's driving and shaping every aspect of who you are. You may not even be aware of it, but you can know for sure, if you're not preserving the word and doing the word, God's voice is not who you follow. It's another voice. Whatever that voice is a god. That's what the Bible defines as a god. That is false worship. And so one of the strongest voices today in America, in 2015, is culture. What popular culture says shapes what we do, what we value, what we think about ourselves, what we think about others, what we think about marriage, what we think about sexuality, what we think about what is right, what is wrong, what freedoms people ought to have and what they ought not to have. That is shaped by popular culture. And if your opinion on those things is no different than everybody else that you know, that you see on TV or whatever, you're being shaped more by the voice of culture than the voice of the word. You're following another god. Your values, how you see yourself, how you see the world, ought to look different than people who are not followers of Jesus. So you need to compare. What am I shaped by? Now, I have it up here. You may be shaped by culture. A lot of times, this is going to get me in trouble, but a lot of times we point to popular culture now and say, this is what's bad out there. But we're not willing to look at ourselves and say, now, I could be shaped not by popular culture today, but popular culture 40 years ago. That's not biblical. That doesn't necessarily mean it's biblical. Now, there are some things in culture. Culture is not all bad. There are certain things that we can be okay with. We can agree with in culture. There are certain things we have to reject. You won't know the difference unless you know the word. If you're not preserving the word in your life, you're not going to be able to tell the difference. But we've got to be able to step back and say, and be honest with ourselves, maybe what I'm comfortable with, maybe what feels right to me, is shaped more by culture today or culture yesteryear and not by the word of God. If we want to see ourselves revived, you want to see your life revived, we want to see this church revived, we have to be honest enough with ourselves and say, why do we do the things that we do? What do we do? Is that shaped by God's word, or is that shaped by culture, either our parents' culture or our childhood culture or our grandparents' culture or our culture today? Because the strongest voice is the voice that's shaping what we do, and we need to figure out what that is. You need to figure out what that is for your life. What voices shape your relationships? That's a good way for you to start. You know, look at, for those of you who are married, look at your marriage relationships. If you're looking towards marriage, look at your dating relationships. If you're single, look at your family relationship and friends. What shapes how you relate to other people? What shapes how you relate to other people in the church? Is it the Word of God, or is it popular culture? And how they define love, how they define marriage, how they define friendship, how they define forgiveness. What voice shapes your identity? Now, what I mean by that is, where do you get your self-worth? What makes you feel like you're something? Do you get it from the fact that God has promised you in His Word that if you trust in His Son, Jesus, that you'll have eternal life for Him forever, that you have a new beginning, a new life in Him, that you have His righteousness, you have forgiveness, that your past no longer defines you? Or is it in something else? A relationship, your ability to actually do something, or your ability to accomplish something with your life? What voice shapes your identity? And we have to ask, what voice shapes what we do as a church and how we do it? Is it culture, which isn't always a bad thing? It just means it can't be an absolute thing. When it comes to how we do things as a church, if it's based on this, it doesn't change. If it's based on God's Word, it can't change. That doesn't change. But the things that we do and how we do them and the way that we do them, if that's based on culture, that has to change. Because if you're doing culture 100 years ago, if I got up here and started speaking Shakespearean English to you, I don't know that I could. But if I could, I wouldn't really be relating to you very well. You probably wouldn't have much of a clue of what I'm saying, other than I sound like a raving lunatic, right? I have to talk to you like you're a modern person. So culture matters. We need to be aware of that, but we need to be able to measure it from God's Word. You can't do that if you're not in it, if you're not preserving it. You can't discern what is Scripture, what is culture, and where they don't agree. And so I'm challenging you this morning to look at your own life. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, all of us fall short in some aspect of doing this, where we let voices around us, whether they're from the past or the present, shape us more than God's Word. This is why Joshua says, "Therefore, be very strong." Now, you may think, well, that's a call for us to just try harder. No, it's not. That call there is for you to be stronger than the normal person has strength. Now, how do you and I become stronger than we really can? Because our strength can't be found in us. It's in the Lord. You have to lean on Jesus. If you want to be able to cling to the Word of God and actually apply this to your life in ways that may be uncomfortable at times. You may not be the most popular person at school or the most popular person at the office because you cling to this rather than what everybody else says. Okay, I want to just give you that disclaimer right now. But the only way you're going to be able to cling to this and not cave, especially when it's family members that oppose what God's Word says, somebody real close, and you have to stand with this instead of them, the only way you're going to be able to do that is not on your own strength, but a strength that comes from Jesus. We know that He died because of our failure to cling to His Word. He went to the cross and paid for your sin and mine because we failed to do this. He gave us a perfect record of having done this because He did do this in His life where we didn't. And then he rose again and ascended into heaven and sent his Spirit to us. When you put your faith in Jesus, you have his Spirit in you so that you can cling fast to the Word of God and listen to this, preserve it in your life, so that you can have a revived life. If your walk is dead, it's because you're not preserving the Word. The Word is what gives life to us through God's Spirit. If you're not in it, if it's not living in you, your spiritual walk is not going to be alive. You'll be chasing experience after experience, because only those emotional moments where your emotions are drawn up by somebody who's either a dynamic speaker or there's great music and there's just this powerful moment, that's all it'll ever be, is a moment, and then it'll be gone. If you want a spiritual walk that is alive, that means when you wake up the next day, it doesn't just disappear. That doesn't mean you always feel it. I mean, your emotions sometimes will be there and sometimes it won't, but you'll know that you have life if you have the Word. What's shaping your life most? What are you clinging to? That's where we have to start. That's where you need to start for a new year and looking at your walk with Jesus. That's where we have to start as a church. If we want to see life breathed in here, we have to start at the Word and say, are we preserving this? Are we keeping this? Are we shaped more by this? Or at least this becomes our highest authority rather than culture. And culture is something that we can change if there's things that don't oppose God's Word that we use from culture. We redeem it by the Word of God. But as we start this process of looking at that, of asking those questions tonight, we have to know the Word to be able to do that. I challenge you this year, if you haven't already committed to doing this, if you haven't done a New Year's resolution, I know some of you don't like doing them because you don't keep them. Well, that's because you try doing it on your own strength. Be strong this year. Lean on Jesus. Look, if you mess up one day, it doesn't mean, or a week, doesn't mean that you've just are done for the year. We have forgiveness in Christ. We have new life in Christ. Repent, go to Jesus, and get back on the horse. I'd challenge you to commit this year to read the Bible through. Or if you that's too much to take in a day, 15 minutes of Bible reading once a day, while you're eating breakfast, while you're eating dinner, before you go to bed, whatever time works for you. Do that this week so that the Word of God can be preserved in you, so that He can speak to you, so that you know that it's Him that's speaking to you and not another voice. We're going to have a time of response, and so if you would stand, I'm going to pray over you, and then you move as the Lord leads you during our time of invitation. Father, we ask that you would show us where we're listening to other voices that aren't you, that your Word would be preserved in us, that it would be alive, that we would be committed enough to be in your Word, to be learning your Word, to commit some of it to memory so that we know your voice and we can distinguish it from other voices that are out there. I ask that you would, this day would be the beginning of our personal walks being revived, of us being re-energized, recommitted, refocused on you, and you doing a mighty and powerful work in our own lives, in us, but also through us in this community. I ask that this day be the beginning of a reviving work in our church, that as we get back to the Word, as we preserve the Word here, as we do the Word, as we measure the things that we do against the Word, you would do a powerful and mighty work in us and through us as well. I ask if there's anyone here this morning who doesn't know if they've ever really heard God speak to them, that they don't really know that they even know Him, that you would draw them to yourself this morning, that they would come to know you as their God, as that they would come to know you, Jesus, as their Lord and their Savior, that they would leave this place knowing you. I ask all of this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.